Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit and earned a BA degree from Amherst College and an MA degree from Wayne State University. After teaching high school for 7 years, he got into the life insurance industry. In 1991, he joined New York Life Insurance Company and for 5 years was its president and as such led its 65,000 employees. In 2007, he entered Yale Divinity School as a student at age 59. The author of God Revealed, Revisit Your Past to Enrich Your Future, his name, Fred Seifert. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Fred Seifert, the former president of New York Life Insurance Company. Fred, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Pleasure to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood, please?
Sure. I was a lower middle class kid who grew up in Detroit. My parents were both Depression era teenagers, so they never graduated from high school. They had to work to support the family, so they had a very strong work ethic, something I'm sure I picked up from both of them. My dad, during the day, was an insurance inspector, and at night he played the trumpet, at night and on the weekends. His real passion in life was playing the trumpet. At one point, he actually was the band leader on the Bobble Boat for several summers. Maybe some of your listeners can remember that. My mom was really a solid influence on me. She also worked one or two jobs, typically. Post office, at a funeral home in Plymouth, Michigan. And what I remember most about her were the kitchen table talks, where she was very encouraging, very loving, very supportive, talked to me about acting out my life with integrity, always doing what's right. And even though it was largely an unchurched family, she often spoke of the Ten Commandments and mentioned the Golden Rule as a way to live my life, and I got a lot from that.
When you were 12 years old, Fred, you had a Damascus Road experience.
Yes, it's the very first story in my book because it really solidified my faith right up to the current time. I was 12 years old. I was home alone one summer day. My parents were both working. My brother was out playing. And I lay on my bed just sort of contemplating and thinking about some pretty heavy questions. At the time, I didn't think there were theological questions, but in hindsight now, I realize many of them were. But I thought about the concept of no beginning and no end, the creation of this enormous, ever-expanding universe. How could God be there always in the past, in the present, and forever into the future? Who was this man, Jesus? Could I develop a relationship with him? Anyway, as I contemplated those questions, I suddenly had this mystical experience where I, in effect, it was an out-of-body experience where I was raised above the bed, looking at myself, thinking about these issues, and really feeling the presence of God. I felt that God was lifting me. God was reassuring me that, yes, he did exist. Yes, he would be with me and guiding me, and yes, I could develop a relationship with him. I fell out of that state in just 2 or 3 minutes. I tried to repeat it many times later because I wanted to go back, and I only was able to repeat it one other time. And then never again. But the interesting part of the story is I didn't tell many people about that experience because I thought they'd believe I was on the lunatic fringe. And, you know, I was a little embarrassed to go that far. But some 30 years later, I was in a retreat for my church. I was very active in the church after that. And I told the story at a church retreat with about 20 other lay leaders and ministers, and much to my delight and surprise, two other people in the room said exactly the same thing, that they had exactly a very, very similar experience. And it occurred to me then that this just might be God's way to solidify someone's faith, disclose himself to someone who would ultimately become a minister or a lay leader. And then one other aspect of that that's also very interesting and providential, not coincidental, is when I went to divinity school at age 59, I took a medieval theology class. And in that class, we had to read St. Augustine's Confessions. And I was just amazed to find that St. Augustine had an experience exactly like mine at a young age. It happened to him twice, and he couldn't repeat it. And so I really felt that at that point, he lived in the 4th and 5th centuries A.D. I felt at that point that God was speaking to me across 16 centuries, saying he was going to do for me what he did for St. Augustine. Really a remarkable revelation.
We're talking to Fred Seifert, who got a degree from Amherst College and then an M.A. from Wayne State University and then taught junior high school for 7 years. And then you join John Hancock Life Insurance Company as an actuary.
Yes.
Fred Seifert, what does an actuary do?
Well, you know, actuaries are very much into life insurance mathematics, probability and statistics. And in fact, you know, that training and the fact that I said earlier I was from an unchurched family actually in a convoluted way makes my testimony much more powerful. Because I had to come to conclusions on my own. I had a scientific mind. You would think I would bias towards science instead of religion. And yet, it was that experience at age 12 and subsequent experiences that I write about in my book, Encounters with God, that really gives me a strong testimony because I came to these conclusions on my own and with God's help.
We're talking to Fred Seifert. When we come back, we'll ask him about him joining New York Life Insurance Company in 1991. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasulin, and we're with Fred Seifert, who joined New York Life Insurance Company in 1999, and from 2002... you became its president, and as such, led its 65,000 teammates. Tell us about New York Life Insurance Company.
Well, it's a great, great company. I, in fact, didn't go through a recruiter or a headhunter to secure that position. I did my research. I studied up on the company. It was rated everybody's AAA. It's a Fortune 100 company. I just sent a note to the president and the CEO saying, I want to come and work for you. And they interviewed me, and after several interviews, that's where I landed. And it was a great, great career, great experience with a great company.
You told me over lunch a few weeks ago, Fred, that New York Life Insurance Company pays out 300 death benefits each day?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, there's a story in my book. It was actually the first story I wrote called Saving a Family from Ruin, in which I went to a convention in Chicago at a time when I was struggling with, you know, the value of what I was doing for a living and the impact I was having on people's lives. And we all have those periods. And I went to this meeting, and 7,000 attendees from 200 companies represented there. And I never paid much attention to claims, but at that meeting, they gave an award that was called their Real Life Stories Competition about the value of life insurance. And the person, they showed a video of the winning submission, and it was the video was a young widow, probably in her 30s, with two young children talking about her husband and their father, who had bought insurance on a Friday and died 2 days later in a tragic car accident. And she talked about the value that that provided to her family in terms of paying off her mortgage at a very difficult grieving time, paying off her mortgage and also allowing her to set up an education fund for her kids. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house as they interviewed her and the two kids talking about their dad, very young kids. And for me, the tears were running down my cheek for a very different reason, because I was the only one in this crowd of 7,000 people who knew the rest of the story, because it occurred to me as I was watching it that it sounded very similar to a case that had come across my desk in which the legal department had sent me a file and asked me to make a decision on that claim, whether to approve it or deny it. And this is the only time in my career when I was asked, my 35-year career, when I was asked to make a decision on a claim. And it looked familiar. And when it got to the end of the video, I almost fell to my knees when they interviewed the agent. It was a New York Life agent. And I realized this indeed was that actual claim. And it really moved me because it was at a time when I was concerned about the impact I was having. And I really felt this was a direct message from God, reassuring me about my value and my work, the value of the company and what they do. And so when I went back to New York Life the next day, I did some research. And that's when I found out, much to my surprise, that this wasn't a once in a week, once in a month, once in a day, once in an hour event. This was happening 300 times a day to the tune of $3.5 billion a year. So I realized all of a sudden, this is the business we're in. This is how we're impacting lives. Claims in an insurance company normally mean losses. But in reality, this is how we're impacting people's lives in a positive way. So I was then able to tell many of those 65,000 agents and employees the same story. But more importantly, it was a way that I expressed my faith, because I told it exactly the way I just told you, that this was a message from God, a reassuring message from God.
I quote you now, God became a very powerful business partner.
Yes, I had been involved in the church throughout my career, ended up going to divinity school because I felt my spiritual education and development was deficient. But during my career, you know, I had gone through that mystical experience at age 12, and I, you know, there's a verse in Matthew 11 that says, come to me, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then this is Jesus speaking, and he goes on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that imagery of yoking with Jesus, you know, when animals yoke, they work together. There may be a weak and a strong partner, but they're working together as partners. And I've been yoked to Jesus my whole career. I mean, we're working together. He's the strong partner. I'm the weak partner. But, you know, I pray daily during my working life, 10 to 15 times a day, simple prayers, short prayers, conversational prayers. Never did I ask for hitting a sales goal, reaching a profit objective, or getting more compensation or the next promotion. Never. It was always about doing the right thing, acting with integrity, guiding me in difficult decisions, because when you're president of a huge Fortune 100 company, you have difficult decisions every day. And Jesus was with me.
We're talking to Fred Seifert, the former president of New York Life Insurance Company. Let's go back to June 2007, Fred. You're 59. You're in great shape. You still have 6 years before mandatory retirement. You're the president. You're of the 59th largest company in America, 65,000 teammates, and you quit. Why?
Yeah, well, as I said, I really felt my spiritual education and development was deficient, given the intensity of the job, the workload, the hours I put in. I really felt I wanted to do something different. The CEO and chairman of the board was not that much older than me, and we had a mandatory retirement age, so I knew that the next promotion wasn't going to be there, but that wasn't the reason. I really wanted to experience a deep dive into the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yale was close by. I'm glad I went to a divinity school instead of a seminary, because I really didn't want to be indoctrinated into a particular faith tradition. I wanted to have that diversity of experience. And it was marvelous, Jack. It was absolutely marvelous. How many people say to themselves every day, I'm really happy. I'm really happy right now. I said that to myself every day at Yale Law School and every day since then. It was just a marvelous experience. The Wealth Channel magazine asked me to write an article on retirement, and I wrote it and they published it a couple of years ago, and the title of it was Healthier, Happier, and Younger in Retirement, because that's how I felt then, and that's exactly how I feel now. I'm yoked with Jesus, and he was with me throughout my career.
If you want to learn more, www.godrevealed.com. Fred, you're 59 years old. You're a freshman at Yale Divinity School. The other students to your left and your right, they're 30 to 40 years younger than you. They could call you gramps. How did you ever compete?
It was difficult. You know, I told my wife I went here for the right reason, to learn and to be educated. But my wife knows I'm a pretty competitive guy, so I worked real hard to compete. But it was difficult. A funny story, Jack, is my daughter, who was about 35 at the time, happened to be at our house in the living room the day I went to divinity school. And my first day of classes, and I'm walking out with my briefcase, and my daughter yells out to me, "Hey, Dad, play nice with the other kids, and don't forget to share." And you know what? That was actually kind of profound, especially the "don't forget to share" piece. Because in that audience, you know, I had much more life experience than many of those students. So they embraced me. In terms of politically and even theologically, I was more conservative than most at Yale. But they embraced me, and I really appreciated that diversity. And, you know, I did reasonably well, but it was hard. Being an actuary with a math background and reading theology is not easy. It took me a lot of hours to stay up to speed.
We're talking to Fred Seifert. When we come back, we'll ask him about the first book that he alluded to, that he wrote, God Revealed, Revisit Your Past and Enrich Your Future. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Fred Seifert, the author of God Revealed, Revisit Your Past to Enrich Your Future. If you want to learn more, www.godrevealed.com. Fred, why the title?
Yeah, it's interesting. The genesis of the book, I went out to dinner with my daughter, Dana, and her husband, and told them a lot of stories about my experiences at New York Life. Maybe a third of them faith-based. And she, at the end of that dinner, she said, "Dad, you know, you've probably told those stories to thousands of New York Life agents and employees. Many of them you haven't even told to your own family." And that, she was right. That hit me pretty hard. And she went on to say, "You really should memorialize them in writing. And if nothing else, for the family." So I went home and I listed about 80 topics that I could write about. And I actually began to write them, even though I was in divinity school, very busy on a number of boards and teaching a class at Fairfield University. I decided I'm going to start writing these stories. I wrote a few, and I shared them with a very well-known, world-renowned theologian, Miroslav Volf, at Yale. He read them, and he said, "Fred, these are really good. You ought to think about publishing a book." So he put me in touch with his literary agent. I sent her the story. She got back to me quickly. She said, "I love the stories. They're well written, but I need to give you a couple of tips." And her first tip was that I needed a unifying underlying theme to the book. So that caused me to go back through the 80 stories and pull out the ones that were really encounters with God, experiences I had where I palpably felt God's presence in my life. But that was only about 15 or 16 stories. So at that point, and by the way, that generated the title, not the subtitle, the title, God Revealed. But one exercise I went through then was I started to replay the tapes of my life and think about times I was going through tough, difficult decisions, difficult times. One point I visited an attorney about possibly going bankrupt. I mean, we all have financial problems. You know, I had issues with some relationships. At some point, I thought I might lose my job. So I thought about, how did I come through all that? You know, was God lifting me up through these experiences? And as it turns out, that generated another 10, 12, 15 stories. And that also, in turn, caused me to put reflection questions and exercises at the end of each chapter so that the reader, her second tip to me was, you need to bring value to your readers. Your readers have to experience something from this book. So I put in those reflection questions and exercises, and I came up with the subtitle, Revisit Your Past to Enrich Your Future, in the hopes that the stories in my book would be memory triggers for the reader's encounters with God. And if you went on Amazon.com and looked up my book, there's some 59 or 60 reviews, customer reviews, and most of them say that that was, in fact, the real value of the book. It caused them to recall experiences where they themselves had been encountered by God or given God's grace.
In an earlier segment, you talked about the story Saving a Family from Ruin. Another one, if you would share with us, Epiphany in India, please.
Yeah, this was the second story I wrote for the book because, it was kind of a work-related experience where I palpably felt God's presence. We had a company in India, and I was the ranking board member from New York Life, so I went to India some 16 times over 4 or 5 years to board meetings. We had to have, by law, we had to have a partner, and our partner was in the healthcare business, owned hospitals and clinics. And at the end of one meeting in Delhi, he said to me, Fred, how would you like to go visit our new cardiac facility? And I thought to myself, I didn't really want to go because traffic was horrible in Delhi in the afternoon, but I said, okay, yeah, let's go. And when we walked into this beautiful, huge atrium in this new facility, he turned to me and he said, as long as you're here, how would you like to observe a procedure? Well, I really didn't want to do that, but I assumed that I'd be up in an amphitheater 12 feet above the operating table, and if I got a little queasy, I could turn aside. As it turns out, the chief of staff marched me into the scrub room, stripped down, had me scrub, put on all the surgical paraphernalia, you know, the mask and the hat and the booties and the gown, and he walked me right into an operating room where they were in the midst of a quadruple bypass surgery. He tapped the anesthesiologist on the shoulder and asked her to step aside and move me right up to the head of the table. I'm standing with my stomach 2 inches from the top of the patient's head and no more than 12 inches from my face is an open chest cavity with the surgeon sewing on the last sutures and the heart beating in front of me. Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And Jack, this was a profound spiritual experience. It was profound. I was crying and worried that my tears were going to fall into the face of the patient, except the surgical mask was absorbing the tears. And, I just kept thinking to myself, how did this ever happen? This must be God's marvelous creation. Human beings are God's marvelous creation. Even an unhealthy heart will beat for 60, 70, 80 years without stopping. It doesn't stop when you sleep. No man-made machine can do that. And I thought to myself, how can any doctor or surgeon not believe that God created this? And, you know, with my actuarial background, to me, you know, science prevails. And I'm, as an actuary, you're into probability and statistics. But for me, Jack, it's much more probable and likely that God created this creature than it was evolved over billions of years from a single cell amoeba. I just don't believe it. And in fact, if I did believe it, I'd ask myself the question, where did the amoeba come from? You know, this is God's creation. So I really marvel these days as I walk around, you know, the streets and in the forest and look up into the skies at the real wonder of God's creation.
Speaking of God's creation, 50-plus years ago, you met one of God's great creations in high school, a lady named Sue.
Mm.
And she's been your partner, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's carried you. And both you and Sue were told individually, independently, that you couldn't have a child.
Yes.
And so the two of you adopted Heidi and Dina, Korean orphans.
Yes.
And then you adopted Denise, a special needs child.
Mm-hmm.
As a little, the rest of the story, later, miraculously, the two of you had Zachary and Cornell, two sons.
Yes.
Denise, special needs child. 585 of these shows, Fred. People that have had special needs children, they always use the word angel, gift from God, hero, teacher, inspiration. Why?
Well, because they are so genuine, and they are so responsive, and they are so trusting and faithful and believing, and they exude love.
When we come back, we'll ask Fred Seifert about a summer day in 1999. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasool. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Fred Seifert, former president, New York Life Insurance Company. Let's go back to a summer day in 1999, and your third adopted daughter, Denise, graduates from Riverview, and you tell that story in the book, the chapter's entitled Johnny's Yard.
Yeah, it was a very touching moment for me and my family. Denise, before she went to Riverview, she was in a public school system and really wasn't thriving there. When she was in mainstream classes, she couldn't keep up. When she went into special ed classes, she wasn't challenged appropriately. So we talked about getting her into a private school, and I mentioned it to a number of people at New York Life. One of them was a guy who reported to me named Pat Colleton. Pat had a special needs son who had gone to Riverview, and Pat suggested we take a look at Riverview. It's on Cape Cod. And we did, and Denise ultimately went to that school, probably starting at about age 15. And in the interim, by the way, Pat's son, Johnny, had been tragically killed in a drowning accident. And he and his, Pat and his wife, established a garden and a gazebo at the school in Johnny's name, and it was called Johnny's Yard. So every time Sue and I would visit Denise at Riverview, I would go into Johnny's Yard and I'd call up Pat on the cell phone. We talk a little bit about business, but I tell him what a great gift it was to the school and how well it's been kept up and how many of the students like to congregate there and so on. So fast forward to Denise's graduation, which was a remarkable experience. There probably weren't more than 35 graduating seniors, but it was a big event, and there were over 1,000 attendees at the ceremony. Most people brought family, friends, and acquaintances, and I had an entire row in this auditorium of my family, probably 10 or 11 people. And when the headmaster got up to give an individual award, they gave several individual awards, he started by saying, Fred Seifert is in the audience today. And I had no idea he was going to say that. My family all looked at me like, what's this all about, Dad? And then he went on to tell the story about Johnny's Yard and the fact that I would go make phone calls to Pat Colleton from Johnny's Yard. Then he said, today, Fred can go to Johnny's Yard after this ceremony and call up Pat and tell him his daughter, Denise, has won the Johnny Colleton Good Citizen Award. Very, very touching moment. Just another aspect of God's grace.
A proud dad. Fred Seifert, how has your first book, God Revealed, Revisit Your Past to Enrich Your Future, changed your life?
Well, it, you know, it generated a lot of TV interviews, radio interviews. We've had a lot of success with the website, probably, you know, several hundred thousand visits to the website over the last couple of years. I've had interactions with a number of people directly. I've spoken to large groups, conventions, as well as very small groups, Bible studies, book clubs, and it really has become a calling for me. I tell people that I view my 35-year career as mere prologue to what I'm doing today, because I've really been called into this ministry, if you will. I'm not an ordained minister, but at times people confide in me as if I'm an ordained minister. And I've heard so many remarkable stories from other people about God's grace and how their lives have been affected and how that has transformed them and caused them to go into Christian service, that it ultimately resulted in me writing a second book, which I'm in the middle of now.
That book is going to be entitled Transformed by Grace, Empowered and Guided by God's Greatest Gift.
Yes.
What is grace?
Well, you know, there are a lot of definitions and books written about God's grace. And in its simplest terms, it's simply an unmerited gift from God. It's God acting in our favor and giving us his presence and his guidance in a way that we don't deserve. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's just a free gift from God. And those are the kinds of experiences that will be in this second book.
In this second book, you're planning on profiling 30 people or so.
Yes.
Can you share one such story?
Yeah. What's interesting about these stories is that a number of the people came to me, told me their experience. It was very cathartic for them, very emotional. But in many cases, probably a third of the stories in the book, they didn't want to reveal their identity, and for good reason, I think. Now, I'll give you just one example of that. A man came to me who described himself as a serial adulterer. He had a job that involved a lot of travel. He was a churchgoer. His family attended church services regularly. He had two young kids and a wife. And yet he was traveling out of town a lot, and he had women that he was having affairs with in several cities. And this conflict, this internal conflict between his church going and his actual behavior was very difficult for him to deal with. He was almost suicidal. And he finally turned to the Lord in prayer, and he asked for three things. First, he asked for God to help him fall romantically in love with his wife again. The second was that he would be able to extract himself from these relationships. And the third was he wanted to redirect all of his sexual energy to his wife. And he felt in a very short period of time, after getting on his knees and praying this several times, that he was cured, he was healed, he had experienced God's grace, he fell in love with his wife, he redirected his sexual energy to her, and miraculously, in his words, he managed to extract himself from these relationships. Now, he didn't want me to put that story in the book, and he didn't want to reveal his identity, because he said his life is wonderful now. He's giving back that grace in Christian service at his church, where he stepped up his activity at church. He's teaching a course, an adult Sunday school course on prayer and the power of prayer. But he said, Fred, I can't reveal this to my wife. It would kill her. She didn't know. And I said, look, he didn't want me to write the story. But I said to him, look, I can guarantee you I'm not going to reveal your identity. I'll change some of the non-essential facts so no one will be able to determine who you are. I mean, this kind of story is not that uncommon. So no one's going to think it's you. No one even knows I know you. And he said at that point, he still was reluctant. But then I said to him, this is a way, it was cathartic for you to tell me your story. This is a way for you to tell thousands of other people your story. You're going to positively impact thousands of lives. And that story will be in the book.
That book will be entitled Transformed by Grace, Empowered by God's Greatest Gift. If there's a listener tonight that says, Fred, I have a miraculous story, how do they reach you?
Yeah, the best way, you can go to the GodRevealed.com website, or you can go there and send me an email. I'll take a look at it. By the way, I have a process where submitting such a story, as I said earlier, can be anonymous. It also can, you don't have to write it up yourself. You can give me a sequence of bullet points. I can conduct a phone interview or two, And I would let anyone who has a story like this, the story really has to be experiencing God's grace in a powerful way that transformed your life and then caused you to give back to others.
You grew up in a poor neighborhood, not churched. You become the president of one of the Fortune 100 companies in America. And now, this mission that you have, this calling. Talk about a story of God's ways are not our ways. Fred Seifert, why did God choose you to do this calling?
Boy, that is a difficult question. I ask myself that question often. I had certain math skills that caused me to go into the actuarial profession. I think the fact that I demonstrated a management ability, this was in God's plan. I think getting promoted to the level I was at was gave me a strong, powerful testimony. I shared that at work. I shared that with my colleagues. I didn't proselytize because New York Life, with so many thousands of employees in 12 countries, had members of every imaginable faith. I think God knew this was in God's plan, and he knew that I could deliver even after retirement.
As our time winds down together tonight, Fred Seifert, would you please lead us in a closing prayer?
Yes, certainly, Jack. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this time together and for the ability to reach out to such a large listening audience. As we speak, there are thousands of listeners who right now are in pain, some from debilitating illnesses, some from grief and the loss of friends and family, many from depression and others from addictions. The list seems endless. For those listeners to this broadcast who right now are in desperate need of healing or relief, we ask that they are inspired to turn to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, for the only real and permanent cure. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort them. And today, on the anniversary of 9/11, we pray especially for the grieving families of the victims of war or of terrorist attacks back in 2001 and ever since then. We pray as well for your intervention in the hearts and minds of those who have been radicalized to an ideology in opposition to you and your word and inconsistent with your light and your commandments. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fred Seifert, what a shining example of letting go and letting God. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.